Call this meeting of the Legacy Funding Division to order.
You can't, and you don't have a quorum.
We're not going to do the minutes, but don't get technical with me today. I will unofficially call this meeting to order. And today, what we're doing is a informational hearing concerning legacy funds reporting process. And start out with Mr. Hubinger. And we have some other testifiers, and if others are wanting to make comments on reporting procedures relative to what Mr. Hubinger is reporting, or if they have some other comments, those are welcome as well. So with that, thank you, Mr. Hubinger. It's your show for a while here.
Mr. Chair and members, good afternoon. I'm Greg Hubinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission. With me is Sally Olson, our commission assistant. She'll be taking you through a tour of the website in a couple of minutes after I've spoken a little bit. I was going to say a little bit about what the LCC is, but I think all of you are veterans, and so we don't need to go through that formality. The LCC was given the responsibility in 2009 when you were passing the first legacy bill to develop a new website that would enable citizens to see how the revenues from the legacy amendment and the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund are being spent. The legislators were, at that time, were really committed to making sure that these new revenues would be spent in a very transparent way, and so that taxpayers could see exactly how these dollars were being spent to improve their environment and to support the arts and our cultural heritage. We worked closely with an advisory group of state agency staff to develop the framework for this website. We looked closely at what some other states had done for their environmental websites and also at the ARRA website. And then being the good legislative staff that we are, we also looked at the requirements that you passed into law that required had certain requirements for the website. We contracted with a web developer, Gorton Studios, to assist us in this project, and I think we'd all agree that this project is as much about a large database as it is about as a website. Our focus for developing the website is based on the notion of projects that would help Minnesotans that were interested in seeing how the legacy money was being spent, to see how it was being spent in their backyards or wherever they wanted to look. We currently have about 5,000 projects on the website from each of the five funds that we track, and another 300 sub-projects. We knew early on that for this project to be able to be done successfully and efficiently, that we would have to work really closely with agencies that actually receive these appropriations to show the information on their projects. We had some significant challenges. Agencies had very different languages in talking about programs and projects and the structures for how they wanted to report this information. We spent a lot of time trying to find common ground about how to present this information on the web. We also learned quickly that agencies were developing their own databases to manage these appropriations and these programs and projects. And we didn't want to have this inefficient system where staff and agencies would be entering data into our database and also into theirs. So we spent a fair amount of time developing this tool that allows their databases that range quite a bit in size and complexity to allow those databases to talk directly to ours and essentially upload their project information to this database. The site went live in 2011. It had about 50 projects on at that time. It now, as I said before, has about 5,000 projects, most of them from the 2010-2011 biennium. And I think at this point it'd be good to take a break and ask Sally to walk you through some of the features of the website, and then I'll come back and talk about some of the reporting functions.
Good afternoon. I'm Sally Olson with the Legislative Coordinating Commission, and going to be taking you on the tour of the website. As Greg mentioned, the content driving the site is the project data. So the site was set up in a way to provide site visitors with a variety of different ways to search and access that data. As you can see right from the home page, the user can access project by a location by clicking on a county or pulling up a list of counties and clicking next to that county. It'll take you to a list of projects that impact that county. Again, you can see the primary navigation menu. There are a lot of different methods by which to filter a project search. So I'm just going to walk through the site kind of following that primary navigation menu. So the About the Funds page, just general information on the two constitutional amendments that passed. You'll notice a link on the left to administering agency. This takes you to a page of all the agencies that administer trust fund or legacy dollars. Each agency has a page on the site. If you click on an agency, you will be taken to their contact information, and you can see all the projects that have been entered for that agency to date. Additionally, on the About the Funds page, recipients can download the legacy logo for their downloading needs. There's the legislative guide. And from both the home page and the About the Funds page, you can go to individual fund pages. These are all set up in a similar fashion, just general information on the funding. You can access any frameworks or plans. You can access any of the reports that have been submitted. Additionally, you'll notice that on the left, there's a list of related agencies, and those are the agencies that administer funds for that particular fund. Each page has their own unique characteristics. The Clean Water Fund, you notice the recent 2012 Clean Water Fund performance report is located there, along with associated documents. They also have a breakdown of the constitutional funding and the framework. The Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund page is set up similar basic funding information, but can access information on the LCCMR, follow their funding process, access requests for proposals, and access, by linking back to their site, any proposals that have been submitted to date. The Outdoor Heritage Fund page is pretty similar to the Trust Fund page. And then finally, the Parks and Trails Fund page. And again, that has general information. That's not showing up. So that's missing some pages. So I don't know where that went. So I'll just continue on with the primary navigation menu. First, project by fund. I want to point out that below all the search interfaces, all the projects that have been entered into the site to date show up. And the default is to alphabetical order. You can also sort that list by recipient. As you can see, there are currently 4,846 projects entered into the site. This exports projects to a CSV file. This enables a site visitor to export all the project data that's been entered into the site to date into a spreadsheet or a table so they can save for their own use and do whatever they like with. The next tab is projects by topic. And this enables the user to filter their search based on different subject areas and different activities. You'll notice when you put in a search item, they show up below the search interface. The projects by county tab, this is similar to what was on the home page. You can either click the county or check the box of the county, pull up the search. And then next is the advanced project search tab. And this gives the user multiple different ways to refine their search, which is becoming more useful as the number of projects are growing into the site. You can search by recipient name, you can search by years, type of recipient, watershed districts, plethora of information. I'm going to put in a project so we can look at a project page. So to pull up a project, you just click on the name. This is a project from the 2010-2011 biennium. And you'll notice on the left the administering agency information, title of the project, the recipient, project overview, some background information on the issue the project addresses, proposed outcomes, additional details related to the project, the status of the project, the duration, some funding descriptions, the contact information. And on the bottom of every project page, there's going to be a section that says related topics. And if you click on any of those links, you'll be taken to all the projects that relate to that topic that have been entered into the site. So additionally, on the right, we have some quick facts, which is just some scanning information, the funding amount. You can link to the project's website, the fiscal year, the counties that have been impacted by the project, and then you could also access pictures if anybody has posted pictures to the site. One thing I do want to point out about the mapping is though a lot of agencies are entering map information based on county data, the site is capable of taking point data, and some agencies have entered that data. So the map would look different. The Historical Society has entered point data. And if they've entered more specific information, the map is going to look more like a point, and you can scan. And then finally on the site is the Opportunities for Funding page, and this just directs visitors to the appropriate web pages for more information. I think that's about it.
Thank you, Ms. Olson. So that final page you just showed, that shows people how to make applications?
Well, it actually just links right now to the programs. So it would link to the agency's website where they can access the information to directly contact that agency and apply for funding.
Okay, thank you. Representative Murphy, you look like you want to ask a question.
I do, but Mr. Chair, that picture of the John Deere pulling
Representative Murphy,
three
would you
halos.
Use your microphone, please.
That picture of the John Deere with three halos of trailers, hayloads of hay, that wasn't a project.
It was a picture that was associated with that project, so the agency uploaded that picture. That has to do with Discovery Farms, Minnesota, is the name of that project. Is that this one?
Check that site. I love John Deere.
Maybe it has to do with Farm America or something. Representative Torkels.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I noticed that Representative Murphy seemed to look inquisitive, and I think I can help her here. Discovery Farms is a project of a conglomeration of Minnesota ag groups that is actually doing farm-scale research, mostly into water quality. So I would guess those pictures are probably taken on one of the cooperating farms in the state. I believe there are three of them spread across the state where they are doing this research, and I would guess that the machinery belongs not to, has not been purchased by legacy funds. You wouldn't, there's not enough money in legacy funds to buy a farm tractor these days anyway, so.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Representative Torkelson. That gives me comfort.
That was my objective.
And clean water was the outcome then, probably.
That's what we're headed for.
Great.
Representative Torkelson.
I'm sorry, I didn't go through the chair.
No, I wasn't going to admonish you, but you should be. Representative Torkelson, do you have a tractor like that?
I have two green tractors. I have one very similar to that, actually. I can't read the number on it, but it's... mine has a rock box on the front instead of a series of weights, but otherwise it looks a lot like that.
So, Representative Torkelson, going back to your previous comment, you have more money than the Legacy Committee.
I've been known to stick my foot in my mouth.
Other questions? Further comments?
Well, Mr. Chair and members, last fall, you may remember that NPR produced a report that reported the results of an evaluation that they had done comparing the appropriations that agencies had received from the legacy funds to the projects that were actually reported on the website. And they basically found that agencies were far behind or lacking in their reporting. Since that time last fall, we've been working with agencies on helping them improve their reporting. We learned that agencies were still in the process of developing their databases so that they could automate the process of uploading their data. And we were also finding some glitches in the tool that we are using in uploading the data from the agencies to our website. So agencies have really improved. I think we did a count in December and found that there were about 1,500 projects reported. And we've done another analysis in the last couple of weeks, and the number has now increased to, as Sally said, to about 4,800. And there's a comparison by fund, a table in a chart in your packets, I believe. There's a spreadsheet that shows the 22 agencies going down the left side, and across the top of this table, each of the five funds that are reported on the website. And under each of the funds, we show the amounts that were appropriated to the agency and then how much has been reported on the website. And we have found that agencies are doing a much better job of reporting on their projects. This was an analysis just of the FY10-11 biennium. For several of the funds, the amounts tie out almost exactly to the appropriation, and in some, there is some under-reporting. We found in talking to the agencies about this that there are a bunch of reasons about why that might happen. For example, the Public Facilities Authority tells us that they have for their clean water grants, that they have a very long lead time from the time that they receive the appropriation to the development of the project and getting bids and letting the work out as a contract. And so that long lead time leads to a late reporting of the project on the website. We are also told by the folks at the PCA, for example, that they have issued multiple RFPs for their clean water grants, and there have been times when they have not received sufficient or adequate responses to those RFPs, so they haven't been able to award all the grant funds. And so that has caused some of the underspending. We've also found that our website, we didn't anticipate everything, that some agencies are reporting on their website both their programs and their projects that are funded by those programs, and the website can't distinguish between the two. So one of the upgrades that we're going to do in this next cycle is to fix that so we don't have that double counting. But I think all in all, from our perspective, the agencies are doing a much more effective job about keeping their projects up to date on the website, at least in terms of having basic information available. Our office received an appropriation from the FY10 or from the 11 legislature for the next biennium, and we're going to be using those funds again to contract with our web developer to make some improvements. One is to deal with the double counting problem. Another sort of core issue is that there are some projects that receive funding over multiple years, and when we were building the database, we didn't think about that potential in the future, so we have to go back and do some redesign. We're also rapidly increasing the number of projects. We're up to almost 5,000, and if a citizen is looking, they're going to quickly get overwhelmed by information, and so we're going to do some work on better searching tools and some better filters that so the people looking at the website won't be overwhelmed. And then finally, I think we're going to do some work on the homepage to provide some big picture information about generally how the funds are being spent and what percentage is being reported, for example, sort of like what the NPR's study showed last fall. All in all, I think from the LCC's perspective, we just wanted to acknowledge that the agency staff that we've been working with have been really diligent about making their data available, making that data available as soon as possible and as comprehensive and as accurate as way that they can. And so we've enjoyed working with them.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hubinger and Ms. Olson. I'd like to commend you both for the job you've done on this. I think it should give people a pretty good idea about how things are progressing. I think you were correct then in making the analysis that this is being done in a more timely and more complete manner than it was before. I mean, the reporting.
Mr. Chair, we believe so, yes.
Thank you. And just a couple of questions. Are the competitive grant applications made public on the site? Ms. Olson?
Chair Erdahl, no, they're not.
Okay, thank you. And when, I was wondering, when grants are awarded, does the agency or organization make public why the project was or wasn't approved? In other words, if there's a project that didn't happen, is that on there, or is there anything about why it wasn't?
Chair Erdahl, no, I don't believe so, unless they include that in their project descriptions.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of general questions about the ease of the information being transferred from the agency level up to the LCC website. Have you made a, I know that most of these agencies have their own website with information about projects on. Is the process of putting that information on your website automated at all, or could you just kind of describe the interaction between the LCC website and various agency websites?
Ms. Olson?
Chair Erdahl, Representative Torkelson. So when we were developing this site, we also developed a tool which is called an API tool, which I can't speak to the technical specifics of the tool because I'm not a technical person. But so that the agencies then also developed from their systems.
Is there someone here that wants to help her out? You're running away.
Our technical person is here. I know nothing of the technicalities. I apologize.
Mr. Chair, I didn't want to get too technical because I won't understand it either.
Thank you, Reverend Torkelson. Introduce yourself, please. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Lee Meyer with the LCC. this API was developed, and the agencies basically use this API. They write a program that reads all the data from their database server and reads it into our database server, quite simply.
Got that,
Mr. Chair, thank you. Was that it's quite simply accomplished, or it's your description was quite simple?
Representative Torkel.
Well, also then another question. Is there a link on your site to the various agency websites?
Olson?
On Chair Erdahl, Representative Torkelson, on each of the administering agencies, like I said, do have a page on the site. It'll link to their general page. Some may link exactly directly to their legacy funding page, but I'm not sure if all of them do. But there is a direct link to the agency.
Cool.
You done?
I'm done, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Other questions? Comments? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hubinger. Just wondering if the deadlines that have been established, are they generally reaching them? Anything more that you think could be done to expedite them?
Mr. Chair, my sense is that agencies are putting the data into their website as soon as it's available to them. They have some lead time from when the appropriations are granted to the agency until the grants are awarded or programs are begun. We know that agencies were watching the January 15th deadline pretty carefully, and we received a lot of data for FY12 projects then. I think there are something like 600 projects from the current fiscal year in the website now.
Yeah, thank you. Do you anticipate any increased cost in the maintenance of this website?
Mr. Chair, the LCC received an appropriation of $70,000 in FY09 and $45,000 in 11. That seems to be an adequate amount for maintaining upgrading. It sort of, at some level, depends on how many changes the legislature makes in the requirements for the site.
Anybody else? Just one other than, so, I mean, our intent here is that the people of Minnesota and the legislators and anyone else who's interested will be able to track how each dollar is spent. Is that... You think we're reaching or we're moving toward reaching that goal?
Mr. Chair, I think we're reaching that goal. we're making that information available to the city.
Okay, thank you. Other comments or questions? Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have someone in my testifiers list here, Lee Mueller. Did I say their name?
He was with our office.
Oh, well.
There could be another one.
There could be another one out there. Mueller's the common. Anyone else? Representative Torkelson.
You're right, Mr. Chair, because I talked to two Dan Fabians yesterday. Two different people with the same name, so it happens.
Was it at the same time?
Yes. Well, it was in the same room, and we were all, it was like a little triangle of Dan Fabian, and me.
Junior.
I wish we had a picture. Anyone from agency, department, or any other recipient of legacy funding that would like to comment on how they think the changes are proceeding or suggestions for improvements? My gosh, they're all happy. Does anyone else wish to make a comment who is not connected with the agency or department or recipients? No, Mr. Neumeister. Well, we will. We have a quorum here, so we will call this meeting to order. And then we will approve the minutes from February 15th. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would love to move the minutes of the last meeting.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are passed. The questions have been asked. Unless someone has anything else. Anyone? Well, King, this case is closed.